to Jeremiah chapter 6, if you would, please. And in our study of Jeremiah, we have reached back into history in the presence of God, who is present and was there and gave us his word, so that we can be the have the advantage of history. So we are not going to be without it. We're going to take advantage of it. And remembering in the day in which Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, rejected God, and thus the Assyrian captivity. 100 years later, thereabouts, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in. And Nebuchadnezzar and the threat of his coming, the warning of his coming, way back with Josiah the king all the way to Nebuchadnezzar's arrival. And in the process, Judah learns nothing from the 10 tribes in the north, and they repeat the same process. They go through the same indifference, the same stupidity. And so now they're facing the Babylonian captivity. And they, their prophets and priests, are telling them, it's all right. It's going to be okay. Even though the forest fire is 5 miles away, it'll never get here, as it were. And they told them, you're quite safe. That was not true, but they did that. So now, here we are, getting the last warning, at least in this time with Josiah. In chapter 6 and verse 16, we shared together, God told them to stand and in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, the right Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Where is the good way? You want to go in the right way, the old way, the good way, and you want to walk, you want to live therein. And when you do, you'll find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not behave like that. We will not go down that road. And they were not going. So we shared together in verse 17, 18, and 19 that God calls all the inhabitants of the earth, the nations, and God calls the earth itself, the ground, the stone, the trees, all of his creation to be a witness of what is going to happen to God's chosen people, Israel, and the wonder of wonders, what God is going to let happen. And God wants all of the world to be a witness, which they are. Now, so in the process, having said that, they're to be a witness and to bear witness in their very troubling days ahead for Israel back then and again in the future. And so if I may pick up, please, in thought a little bit in verse 19, hear, O earth, behold, I bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. In other words, they had all kinds of opportunity to understand, to go forward, to go on the right road, no matter how difficult and lonely and otherwise, they were to go down that road anyway. So now God is going to go to it. He's going to tell them no more. What's going to happen is going to happen. Thus, when you come to verse 20, remember now, Judah, very clear that they have rejected God's word, his way. They won't hear, they won't heed, they won't walk, they won't obey. And thus their practices are the same as it was way back in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8. You don't have to turn there, but just to remind you, when God gave him the Ten Commandments, you'll remember in verse 8, their response to God's teaching instruction, all that you say, all that God will say, we will do. And they didn't realize that in and of and by themselves, they could not accomplish what required God. They were going to try to proceed in the way, the old way, the right way, without God. And you can't do that. And you know, without doing too much, God said, not only in Deuteronomy, but he said, wonderfully and simply so, in John in 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the way is a person. The way is a person. The way is God. And they were going to leave God out. Now you can't go down God's way without God. Now that's very good and very wonderful. Otherwise we'd walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness and we would not be able to say, thou art with me. And we wouldn't be able to say that because we wouldn't know it. And the valley is there. The darkness and all of it is there. Now, verse 20. To what purpose? To what purpose now? And in the, remember that now, in doing that, you want to get their attitude. We will do all that you say. I'm going to finish it. We will do all that you say in the way that we choose to do it, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. We will choose how we're going to handle what you say. You can say it, God, but our way, we're going to interpret and tell you whether we like that road or not. Now, hang on to that. Now, having said that, again, verse 20, to the purpose. To what purpose? That's three little words, as it were. To what purpose? What then? Hear this. Hear this. Would you pay attention, earth, inhabitants, everyone in the world? Listen. Listen, if you would. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Now, you've got to catch the flavor of this. So here comes the, what were they doing in Jerusalem? And you remember in chapter 7, the temple is still up. Nebuchadnezzar is going to knock it down. But they're counting on that temple. That temple came from Solomon, from God, God's blueprint. No one on this earth is ever going to touch it. Now they missed the boat in understanding about that. And so now they're still sacrificing, and they're big into incense in that. Now, what were they doing? They're still sacrificing, and they're big into this because it's something they could do. And remember in Exodus chapter 30, they could go and make this incense, very, very special formula. They could never use it anywhere except in the holy place, in the tabernacle, in the temple with God. They could never use it anywhere else. So now, what were they doing to make it? What do people do? They don't want to give their heart to God, but they do want to make sure that their, what they do is in a way that in comparison to other people, we aren't so bad. We aren't so bad at all. We're a little bit gooder, better, and therefore, what are we doing to merit something? Well, we're getting incense. And we're getting it from Sheba. Sheba is down in the southern part of Saudi Arabia. And that's the country known as Yemen. Yemen. All the way down in the south, all the way in the bottom. And that's about 1,500 miles, approximately, plus or minus, from Jerusalem. They were getting that special incense from there. Not only that, they were getting also sweet cane from afar off. And where is that? That's in India. So they're busy now, and they're in the place where all the travelers come, transportation, so they're able to pick up all kinds of stuff as caravans travel. And so they're getting very expensive, special stuff of all the white powder down from Sheba, Yemen. Wow. And thus, they're getting that. And they're mixing the formula. Now, what's the one formula? Well, the incense has to do with the fragrance, the worship. Worship. They threw incense in the fire, and when it burned, it had a great fragrance to it. And that fragrance would rise. It was only used in the tabernacle temple, and it would point to God is satisfied. God is going to be satisfied with the work of his Son. Now, what were they doing? They weren't paying attention to God. They were paying attention to what they were going to do. We're going to do this, God, very, very special. We're serious. We're sober. We're going to make it. And then we're going to have the cane, and that goes to the anointing oil, Exodus 30, which the priest would put on that which makes something holy. And that has to do with the work of God, the Holy Spirit. So what are we doing? Well, we're going and doing something in our own works in such a way that what we do and how we do it, the money we spend, the effort we put out, is worthy of note. And everyone take note how we work, how we care, how meticulous and scrupulous we are with what we do. And they were doing that. And God said, to what purpose are you doing this? Why are you spending the money, the expense, and the time? You're wasting your energy. You're wasting it all. It's to no avail. And do you know how many people are seeking to go by their works? You say, well, that's old-fashioned Protestantism and everything. Sure it is, but still, do you know how many people are trusting that they're good enough compared to somebody else so that they're going to make it? They're going to make it because they're good enough. Huh. They're doing the things. They aren't doing some things. They are doing other things. Wow. Still going, isn't it? Now, what does God say to them? He said, you're going out of your way to make it very, very special in the sacrifices and worship that you're doing in the temple. But it is to no avail because you have no heart. Now, verse 20, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your, Y-O-U-R. It doesn't say God's or my, it says your. They're your animals, and you offer them on your terms. It's all of you. I don't have anything to do with what you're doing. You're doing your church, you're singing, you're preaching, you're coming, you're going, and it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. Nothing at all. And thus, they're your. I told you how hard it is for people. They don't understand. If they understood, it would be they'd be slower. But they don't understand. My church, your church, our church. That's not very biblical. Because the church is singular, one body. The church, which is his what? Body. There's not 10 bodies, only one. And who does the body of believers belong to? They belong to the head. who is the head. There's not 10 heads. There's only one. And people do that over and over and over again. And they don't know. They just don't pay attention. Therefore, we are very, very susceptible to all of the problems that exist. Therefore, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your, Y-O-U-R, your sacrifices sweet unto me. I am not pleased with any of that which you do. And thus, in no way am I going to honor you. Now, in the light of that, over to verse 19:16, and just to pick up a clause. Verse 16, if I can. And in chapter, chapter 6, verse 19. 6 and 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. What evil? Even the fruit of their thoughts. The word thoughts, device, plan, purpose. The verb means to tie something together, to connect the pieces, the threads together, to tie a knot. To tie a knot would be to tie something to bring it together, to string together ideas, words, syllables, thoughts. And you string them together, and you have a thought, a plan, a purpose, a way to think, thinking. And thus, verse 19, I will bring this evil upon this people, even the fruit, the outworking, the produce of their thinking. I'm going to bring that upon them, all of it. And as they try to spin together all their plans, desires, programs, they're thinking good, things are going to be better and better, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, and thus their thoughts were evil. And God is going to go and allow those thoughts to be outworked. He's going to allow their plans to be implemented. He's going to allow their program to be put into place. They want to go down that, remember the road we have? God put a red light on the wrong road, a green light on the right road for them to go down, the good way. But they chose not the good way. God put a red light. You couldn't go that way anymore. And the old way was made green again. And they're going down that road. That's the statement. They're going to reap. What are they going to find as they go down that road? Now, and thus in the process, as they go down that road, going down, and they're evil, it's evil, bad, unhealthy, unwholesome, unworthy, worthless. Their whole approach isn't going to produce a thing, not going to produce any good thing at all. So as they go down the road, and as they're going down, and they have their plans, they're going to reap what they have sowed. They want to sow, they're going to reap what they sow. And in the process, as they go, they have all this stuff, incense and everything, and they're going to do what they do, but it absolutely is not any good. And so, therefore, you come, well, we have the very special sacrifice, the priests do, and therefore the people come, well, it must be good. God certainly is going to honor that special formula from India and Yemen and all that stuff. And so, in the process. And so the sweet cane from a far country and all of it. Now, having said that, keeping that, Judah could not make up by their having the very best ingredients. They could not make up for the absence of God. And all our works and all our energy and all our caring and all our sincerity and all our tears and all our trouble and all and all and all and all. It won't do one thing to make up for God. No matter what you come up with mentally, physically, spiritually, ritually, religiously, no matter what you come up with, it never measures up to God. So we don't want to do that way. No. But Israel is bent on doing it because they're counting on their works, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Adventists and all of them, counting on their works. Now, so in the process of that, going there, over if I can, and remember now, they have the wrong attitude, they have the wrong action, and it's all a loss, all waste. So now they're going to go, and then they're going down the road, they're trying to do what they do, and they aren't, it isn't coming out good, no it isn't, but they're going, and God's going to let all the stuff happens. When you go in the wrong way, all the things you think about that aren't right, all the things that you try that are wrong, God's going to let them all fumble out. Wow. God's, you know, as we shared last time, God gave them up to their own way. And I never want, that's a one words of all the words in the Word of God. That's the one I never want to hear uttered. I give you up to your own way. I don't want to ever hear that. That's terrible. That's a terrible, terrible judgment when God gives humanity up to their own heart. We have that in our country going on. Wow. Now, so, in the process, what are they missing? Well, they have every over. Well, one way to do this very quickly, over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, if I can. Picking up, please. In chapter 15, you know it. I'm just going to remind us of it. Remember, King Saul is trying to be a priest when he isn't. He's trying to honor God when he isn't. He's violating God's word, God's method. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" And that's what King Saul offered them. He isn't a priest. He's busy offering sacrifices. And Samuel said, "Hath," verse 22, "the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." So if you're trying to go and offer animals, it isn't going to, animals in themselves are nothing. And without a heart, you're wasting the animal. Verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king." So here's a case. You're doing all these things? No, I want you not. I don't need the sacrifice of an animal. I need your heart. All the sacrifice an animal is going to do is point to what I have to do when I come in my Son and die on the cross. That's what has to be done. And if you understand that, that's good. But if you just sacrifice animals and don't understand that, that's not so good. Now, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 10. Hear the word, Isaiah 1:10. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose," there's a little phrase, "to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" Why are you doing it? Why you do all this stuff? We go to church, we sing, we teach. Why are you doing it? You got to have the right reason. Have the wrong reason, don't go anywhere. Verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings. I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat-fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bulls. I delight not in the blood of bulls, of blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. And what have they got? You remember in Isaiah, just so you know, verse 1 and 6, the nation of Israel, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You are diseased from the foot to your head. And now you're going to tell me you need sacrifices. No, what you need is to get your heart right. And that's why when you turn Isaiah chapter 1 to verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, I want you to get, let's say it simple. Settle the case out of court. Don't go to court with me, said God. You will lose. I want you to settle the case out of court. If you take me to court, like the great white throne judgment, I guarantee you lose. The evidence is overwhelming against you. Wow. Now, so back over, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 6. And in their offering, burnt offerings, therefore, remember, they're substituting ceremony in place of reality. And then they're doing it very sincerely, and religious people and all people. You can be very, very sincere, genuine, and committed to something or someone and be seriously wrong. Sincerity is not make anything right. Sincerity doesn't make anything right. It's a wonderful word, but it doesn't make anything right. It just means the same, all the way. Wow. Now, so here, Jeremiah chapter 6, and therefore, verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, behold, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. I am going to lay stumbling blocks before this people. Now, keep in mind here, the word stumbling block means to stumble, to fall over, to be enticed, to trip over a person or thing, to fall over it. I am going to lay is a verb. It means I'm going to let everything that happens as you go down the highway in the wrong direction, I'm going to let it all occur as you wanted it. It's going to happen. You're going down the road. I hope you learn well. Now, I'm going to have you stumble, because as you go down that road, you have all kinds of thoughts and of things, how it's going to go and how it's going to work. But when things aren't working like you wish, you're going to have trouble and stumble over them. And here we got all kinds of stuff like health care and everything, all that stuff. Now, what are you going to do? Well, I got a plan. But then you didn't figure that. No one told you that part. Now you got to work that one, another one, and we keep going down the road here. So now, in the process, verse 21, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. I am going to let them stumble over the obstacles, that which they create, that which they wish as they go down the road, and they are going to stumble. Instead of going on the good way, the way to go, and the way you'd find rest, verse 16, you aren't going down that road. No, you're going down your own road for your own reasons in your own way. And you're going to reap for that. You're going to pay a price for that. Now, having said that, and the world's doing that. Everyone's doing it. Young people are doing it. Old people are doing it. No matter how you want to cut the cookie, stand back. Take a look at your own life. Take a look at people around you. Take a look at the media. Take a look at the world out there, Syria and Egypt and all of them. And look out there and see, where do you, all you got to do is, you don't have to be a prophet. All you have to do is say, where is this going? As it heads down the road, here's the edge of the cliff, and they can't keep doing that. It isn't going to work. You can't keep money, et cetera, et cetera. You can't do that if you don't have it. You just can't do that. But now, but who's going to pay attention? So here they are. They're all going to pay as they go down the road. They are not going to find rest. And in the process, verse 21, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor, and his friend shall perish, shall come to an end, to perish, to come in a wandering into a forsaken state, to perish, to waste away, of a country, of a land that wastes away, they're going to perish. And that means inclusive. Everyone in Jerusalem, everyone in Judah, all, when Nebuchadnezzar comes, he is going to do a number on them. Pick up in verse 23, just for the sake of jumping ahead a bit. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel, they have no mercy, their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array, as men who for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. That great army of Nebuchadnezzar is going to come stomping in with no mercy and level everything. That's what's going to happen. Now, and no one is excluded. Now, there's a remnant that God is going to save, and you'll pick it up later. There's a remnant, one of which is Jeremiah in Jerusalem. And in the process, everything is moving, and everyone's going to be included in what's coming up. Now, having said that, and they're going to reap what they have sowed. Now, picking up, if I can, in thought, to put it together a little bit, they're going to reap the fruit of their thinking. God's going to let it happen. God's going to let it all fall and let it happen. They're going to walk right into it. They're going to stumble, trip, fall all over it. And they're not going to find any success in their ways of thinking. Their ways of thinking are without God. They are not going to find any success. By their efforts to honor God, they fail to honor God. And they end up being stumbling over all of it. All that they're stumbling over their special incense from their special incense from India and Yemen. They're stumbling over, when did we do this? We did this. But what good's that? You didn't understand. It didn't pay off. So it doesn't matter how much you get upset. It isn't going to work. It was never intended to work. So now, God, here we are looking, and they're going to find ruin. And that's Jerusalem. That's what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar, ruin. Now, over to chapter 18. Chapter 18, Jeremiah. Remember now, they're going down that road. Chapter 18 and verse 12. We're going to pick up. A little word, thought, devices, spinnings together, thoughts, syllables, making a thought, an idea, a plan, a purpose, a thought. Chapter 18 and in verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk, after our own devices, our own thinking. And we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Is anyone going to fix anything? No, sirree. and you wonder why God's going to do what he does. He says, the whole world, be witnesses of what they're doing. Now, pick up the thought, if I can, in verse 18. And they said, come, let us devise. There's your word devise, thought. Devices, the verb and the noun. Let us divide thoughts. Let us come up with an idea, a plan, a program against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Let us not give heed to any of his words. We want to get rid of Jeremiah. We got to. That guy is, he don't change his message. He don't change anything. Why didn't he change it? They got to get rid of him. They're thinking about getting rid of him. Hang on to that. Over if you would, please. Oh, to chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Here's their thinking. They just are bent on what they're doing. Jeremiah chapter 29, picking up a little word later, God tells you what he's going to do. Chapter 29, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 11, for I know, this used three times, I know the thoughts, little word devices, I know the thoughts that I think, there's your word, the verb, I think I am putting all those thoughts together towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts, there it is again, thoughts of peace and not of evil. You are bent on evil. But I am not interested in having you produce evil. I'm hoping you're going to learn something from stumbling in practicing evil. When you practice godlessness, you ought to find out what that's like to learn. Sometime we have to learn most things, I'm afraid, in the College of Hard Knocks. So now, God is going to do a wonderful thing for Israel. No question. Over to, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Israel fails to honor the person of God who is the way. They can't go down the right way without God. Can't do it. Isaiah 53, picking up directly, if I may, in verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Isaiah 53, the chapter, we're just going to read verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was despised and we esteemed. We had no good thoughts about God. We didn't even think about God. We had no good thoughts about God. Now, Isaiah 55. But God, what about that business of thinking? And you are familiar, Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, picking up, please, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There you are. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And you have to understand that you could say, I don't deserve it, I'm guilty, there's no hope, no help. Israel said that. There's no hope or help for us, so we might as well keep going on the road. That was a wrong thing to say. Wrong thing to say. Why? Because God said, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And what you can't conceive of, I can. I can be merciful and gracious. I can take the ashes of a burnt out life and replace it all over again. No one can do that. except I can. And when a man, a woman, boy, or girl gives me their heart, really, you watch what I could do. They say, there's no recovery. I'm going to be like this forever. No, no, no. You don't never say that. No. No, now in the process, Psalm 40. God's thoughts are higher, more than, other than. You know it. Here it is again. Psalm 40. May I go directly if I can in light of verse 5. David, help us. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, there it is, which are to usward. God, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. And I want you to know they're out of your reach. So you're going to have to trust me. See, you can read my word, and when you read my word, look up. Because you have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. Because of what you understand is so minuscule. So little. So get a look to God. That's right. Now. So I'll read it. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered, more than the sand of the sea, etc., etc. Verse 17. But God, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. Your thoughts toward me are out of reach. But in the same breath, God, and of something wonderful, here I am on planet Earth, and here I am in your presence, and you are thinking about me. Now you say that. You have to understand when you say that. Remember from looking on Sunday and all that stuff. When God says that, he can be fully attentive to you. He can give his full, infinite attention to you right now. And he can do it to everything in his wonderful creation all at once. Now, verse 17 then, but I am poor and needy, yet God bless you, the Lord thinketh, there's your verb, upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. So when I start getting pity party and all that stuff and get down, whoops, God, but you do think about me. You do know. God said, I do. I would go down where the thoughts are evil, and I'm going to reap the trouble that goes down the wrong road. But you don't want me to go down that road. And you aren't going to exempt me from trouble or getting bogged down or tripped up or hurt or family, marriage, everything. You aren't going to stop. No. But I'm going to hope if you're the minute you're ready to pay attention, I'm able to go and I'm able to take all the evil thoughts that you have, that you reap. I'm going to give you all my good thoughts that are more than the sand of the sea. So we'll trade. You give me your thoughts and put them on the cross, and I'll give you my thoughts about you. How are you going to replace that? You can't replace that. Now, so having said that, over to Malachi. Malachi. As you go to Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, may I pick up a word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord, remember now, this is at the end, got 400 years before John the Baptist, and it's downhill. There's the Maccabees and all of that stuff. But hey, 3 and 16, Malachi. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. For them. God doesn't forget. He's going to be able to deal with what you did and didn't do all your life. God isn't going to forget a thing. But, God, like in 1 Corinthians 3, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. Well, God, here we are. I'm writing down a book. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared, that had a healthy, awesome reverence for God, and that thought upon his name. They think upon his name. They think upon his name. They honor him. Honor a great God. Like David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Wow. God, I'm going to think about you. Yeah, I'm not going to forget you, God. I'm not going to try to have a whole lot of special stuff, my efforts to earn something. No, I'm going to understand the matchless wonderment of a word. You told us to learn very well thanksgiving. Learn to say thank you with all of your heart. For I am on top of your case 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And whether you realize it or not, you ought to be one thankful person. And in closing, over a few words, please. Remember the ointment for the Holy Spirit of God and the anointing of all the things in the tabernacle temple and the incense to bring the fragrance of his name upward. Malachi, they thought upon his name. Over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And if I may, John 14, picking up, please. Directly, if I can. Verse 13. Whatsoever you do, you shall do. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So God, we're going to look to you. What was so marvelous about the Malachi? Well, everything was against them. They were loners. They were outsiders. The world rejected them. Israel rejected them. But God didn't. God didn't. And so they had a wonderful sense of God. And they weren't earning it with special favors or special gifts or anything. They were having the favor because they looked to God to be merciful and gracious to them. And he was. So now, God, what are you telling us? Here we are, believers, so far ahead of Malachi. And we're going to ask in your name. And just like the incense, you are pleased. We aren't asking for anything. We're asking you to honor the person and work, incense, to honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the tabernacle. Honor the person and work. And you only can do it by the Spirit of God, the holy oil. Now watch. Come together. Over chapter 16. John chapter 16. John 16, verse 13. Remember, ask anything in my name. And the Spirit of God, you have to make it work. God, you're pleased when you want. God is pleased when I want what God wants, in the name of his Son. And the Spirit of God is going to make that possible. So verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Why? For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And he's going to represent all of the benefits and all of the advantages that I have made possible by my death, burial, and resurrection. And his job is to make all of that practical. And we didn't have one big deal about one. What gave us some extra credential? You know, who has an extra credential with God? Everyone in the body, there is no superiority. And there is no inferiority. Every part of the body is his. There isn't any. I don't have any, and you don't have any. See? Wow. But we all have the same. So now, God, here we got this fun night coming up, and we want to just look to God. It's a special time. And God, to do what he does. God, we want to honor your name. We want to honor your name. We aren't going to get it because we did some great big thing. We've got pumpkins that are made of gold. We got prizes of little pumpkins made of silver for everybody. Wow. We've got candy. 50-pound bags of candy. No. No. We're just us. And we do the best we can. And we want his name honored. And Spirit of God, I can't do it. We can't do it. You can do it. Honor the name, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, we may never reach tomorrow, even tomorrow morning. But God, if it is to be, we're looking for you to honor your name, to deal with the heart of every one of us, in and out, connected, unconnected to that time. A special time for you to just be you, however you wish. Thank you. We'll pray. Remember that. You got request. Let's just concentrate on that little bit if we can, without losing any of the others.